There is a notion out there that medical science can cure everything, and there are some taboos around the subject of dying in our country. And it's believed that in this day and age, we have the evidence that supports a more peaceful approach to life-limiting illness. And this can be many years. It can be a disease for which there is not a known cure. It can be a downhill trajectory like some cancer diagnoses, but also neurological diseases like Lou Gehrig's disease or advanced pulmonary diseases or even advanced heart failure. We know that the person may have a while to live, but they're not exactly in that end-of-life period. So the goal of this program is to teach nurses in all specialties how to work with their patients for the quality of life so that we manage their symptoms, whether it be pain, fatigue, nausea, anorexia, or many other symptoms that go along with chronic disease.
One would expect that nurses would know this stuff, but they don't necessarily.
One would expect that. In fact, I've been involved in researching and asking nurses for over a decade this question. And I've started with oncology nurses. And our line of research was, tell us what the biggest gaps are in your education in dealing with your patients. And in order of ranking, the number one was how to talk to patients and families about death and dying. Number two, comfort care interventions and symptom management. And then number three, pain control techniques. So we thought, maybe that's just unique to oncology nurses. So we looked at hospice and palliative care nurses. Basically, it's the same top three things. Then we decided, well, let's look at critical care nurses. And basically, it's the same top three things. So communication is big. Back in the day, when a lot of our mid-career and older nurses went to nursing school, this was not taught. We were basically told if they ask us questions that they should ask their physician.
And of course, the doctors had no clue either. That's the worst part.
That's correct.
Oh, dear. So is the science actually changing? I mean, have we made progress in all of those areas that you described, all the palliative stuff? Is that sort of evolving?
It's evolving. In fact, now it's a specialty. It's a medical specialty that no longer people can be grandfathered into. Now there is a board certification exam that must be taken for physicians and also for advanced practice nurses, for nurse practitioners. There is a curriculum and there is evidence that supports treatment for each one of those symptoms that a person may be having as they battle their life-limiting condition.
But are we getting better at controlling pain, nausea, and other uncomfortable symptoms that occur before death?
I think it's a question of, do we get to the right person who has the right amount of knowledge and the right approach to trying different things? I'm a palliative care nurse practitioner myself, and sometimes the first drug I try is not the right one, or it's not the right dose. Sometimes it needs to be that drug tried with a different kind of drug. Sometimes the patient needs to be rotated off that drug. Sometimes it's a matter of positioning. Nurses have additional training than physicians have to be able to try lots of things. And I myself like to try alternative and complementary therapies like massage, like music, art therapy, pet therapy, other things that can at least divert a person from the actual pain or condition.
Studies indicate that the United States is becoming a more secular country, although it's mostly in the younger generation. I mean, was that possibly one of the reasons that we didn't really tackle the subject of death with patients before, that was sort of viewed as the domain of God?
The domain of God, or in the case of our religious hospitals, specifically Catholic hospitals, the domain of the nuns or the domain of the priest or the chaplain on staff. The way we look at end-of-life care now and palliative care, which is the more contemporary term, is to have an interdisciplinary team approach, and we will have someone representing the spiritual side of things, as well as ethics, as well as cultural changes and differences across patient populations. I have also studied, as a former healthcare administrator, the changing focus in religious hospitals and what does make them different. What I found in that research is that Catholic hospitals in particular have been the front runners in providing end-of-life care, but it's still not enough. We need all hospitals to take up the gauntlet for the palliative and end-of-life care.
You mentioned cultural differences. Can you give me any examples of how different cultures might look at death or deal with death? Is that what you're talking about there?
Yes, yes. Different cultures approach death in different ways, and some Europeans approach death as a natural part of life. They embrace it. They often live with the older family member. Asian Americans or people from Asian backgrounds often don't like to discuss it, and they might avert their eyes. And if you didn't know what the cultural considerations were, you might think they were not interested. African Americans often have a very important role for their family minister. So when you might ask for family members to come for a conversation and they want to bring their minister, that is something that is an okay thing to do. In fact, you might want to ask if they want to bring their minister. In some Native American cultures, there are also beliefs about who in the family should be the one to make the decisions. Sometimes it's not the family. Sometimes the patient wants the caregiving team to speak with the oldest son. And it's good for us to know that as caregivers. The question that always comes up is, what's the difference between hospice care, end-of-life care, and palliative care? Hospice care is care of persons at or near the end-of-life period. And in the United States, it's also an insurance benefit. It's a Medicare benefit. And that Medicare benefit requires two physicians to sign and attest that the person has 6 months or less to live in order for them to receive that benefit. So over time, hospice care has gotten a bad rap that, oh, my doctor wants me to have hospice care. That must mean the end is near. Palliative care is an approach to care that can be started at any time. In fact, we prefer that palliative care be a consideration at the time of a diagnosis of a life-limiting disease or condition. That way, we can meet with the patient and family to determine what are their goals of care. Do they want to live long enough to attend their daughter's wedding or see their son graduate from medical school? We want people to know they have options, and they need to know the risks and benefits of all of the treatments and decisions they may make with their physician.